This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, we're playing all Aretha today. Sadly, 1 year after her passing, but an absolutely remarkable career. Our next guest is Anthony Scaramucci, who certainly has been in the news of late. I would say for the last few months. Anthony has been more direct in his criticism of the president. But then last Friday, and I did see this on Bill Maher, he was even more pointed, and the shock of no one, the president, with his 17 TVs in front of him, started directing more criticism right at Anthony Scaramucci. And it is ratcheted up all week between the two parties, and Anthony is kind enough to join us. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. I know earlier in the day, we had reports that Twitter had suspended you because you were picking up on what the president said last night when he was at a rally, when he was making fun of someone who he thought was a protester and was making fun of the protester's weight. Well, it turned out he was actually wearing a Trump 2020 shirt, and the president still was making fun of his weight. And you had tweeted out, calling the president the fattest president since William Howard Taft. Are you back on Twitter as of now?
Well, look, they gave me a 12-hour suspension for that. So that was obviously a poor choice of words. And so I should have said he was proportionate to William Howard Taft in terms of his, you know, his size and his dimensions. I think that's less of an offense on Twitter. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit hypocritical, and it's obviously one of those things where we, you know, we see what many people are doing on Twitter, but I'm a conservative voice on Twitter. And so I have certain guardrails that are different than other people. And, you know, my staff has pulled 50 tweets from liberals, which look way worse than what I said. But it is what it is. I said something inappropriate. But the truth of the matter is it was in response to what he's doing, because I think it's now important that we shed light on his method of disunifying all of us, his method of creating a license for anger for everybody. And he's created an age of impunity in a country whose first name is United. And so we should have unity, but we're getting from our commander in chief impunity. And I think enough is enough. And so I'm calling on my fellow Republicans who feel the same way as I do to speak more openly about it. So for me, it wasn't a road to Damascus moment, but it's been a gradual process where I've said, hey, you got to stop doing this or stop doing that, because it's very, very divisive. It's very horrific for the country.
Anthony and his wife, Deidre, have a podcast, which you can listen to through radio.com, same company that owns us, Mooch and the Misses. They're 50-some episodes in, so it's well worth listening to. I've listened to it a number of times. I've enjoyed it. So you have talked about in this criticism of the president about a number of people who share your views, a number of high-level people who have reached out to you since you started talking and even well before, and items like you said you'd be surprised about the names who feel the same way. Don't you think
you think
you'd add a lot of credibility to what you're saying? Because a lot of people really believe in what you're saying. But if there are those folks who are top-level Republicans and they feel the same way, why not name them? Why not get more people to galvanize behind what you've been saying?
Okay, that's a very good question, because the cyber bully in chief has bullied those people into submission. And so, as I've pointed out, demagoguery requires blind obedience. It's not a loyalty where you and I are friends, you like some things about me, you may dislike some things. It's blind loyalty. And so what he's done is he's created this sort of Night King from the Game of Thrones hold on these people, because they're paralyzed in fear that they're going to get primaried or lose their position or lose their Secret Service detail, and he's fired 75 or 80 people and all of this sort of stuff. And so he's got the entire nation's capital paralyzed in fear. As you know, no legislation can get done because the other side has a tremendous distaste for this man. Additionally, his team, he doesn't listen to any of them. And so if you go through the team, he won't listen to anybody, so he takes nobody's counsel. So now what has to happen is we've got to get these people to come out in unison, which will take a little bit of time, but I predict that it will. But I will submit to you rhetorically, have you heard one senior Republican dismiss what I'm saying and proclaim what I'm saying is not true? Have you heard one say, hey, totally not true, blah, blah? And then have you ever said anything off the record about the president acting nuts or having mental instability or mental decline?
No, I've not. People within the White House have.
No, but I'm saying that rhetorically.
Others.
Meaning say to the senior official, if they're willing to get to the microphone and say that they're in the tank for them and they love them and blah, blah, well, okay, have you seen any mental decline or mental instability? And then they say no. Have you ever talked to any reporters off the record and said that? And then, you know, obviously reporters will keep their confidences, but now you'll be able to distinguish who the real patriots are, who love their country, okay, and who the people are that are just really sitting in there, not just as partisans, but as self-preservationists. And so for me, I'm a private citizen, okay? I love my country. I'm a lifelong Republican. I went to work for the president because I believed that he had an agenda that could help people like the ones that I grew up with, blue-collar people who felt abandoned by the establishment politicians in Washington. He's done the very opposite. His record dictates that. He knows from the polling data that he can't win in the swing states. And so he's driving a wedge further to see if he can ferret out Trump supporters, okay, and increase their participation rate. And so I find it astonishing that I'm the only person in the Republican Party or the only former administration official that is willing to speak truth about this. I find it astonishing. And so I do believe now that I've created this opening, others who really love the country, who are American patriots, will come forward and speak the truth about the situation that we're in, and then the spell will be broken.
12:44, Chad Hartman here with you on WCCO. Anthony Scaramucci, nice enough to join us. His podcast is available through radio.com, Mooch and the Misses. It's a good listen with his wife. I know you've been asked this before, but let me try it a little different way because people have said, why not before? And you said, fine, yeah. That is a fair criticism. I should have jumped in earlier. I just go back to even during the campaign, not even when he was president, Anthony, all the insulting, bullying words that clearly were not true, even if you believed in his agenda, and clearly tens of millions didn't you think this just isn't the character of a person who should be the next president of the United States?
Well, I mean, you know, I have said that I own this and I can't go back. Looking at him, and I did what people are still doing. Cast, and I said, well, this is good and this is good. That's not so good. And then, of course, he was running against Secretary Clinton, who, you know, was from the Democratic Party. But I think that, you know, I think there was a lot of people in my party that thought he would be a better choice relative to her.
But were the other Republicans better choices?
Well, you have to remember, I was with Governor Scott Walker. Yep. He came out of the race. I moved over to Governor Jeb Bush.
Yep.
He came out of the race. Something the president said today in the press spray, which was correct. He said, I only joined him when I knew he was going to win. That was correct. I know he said that derisively about me, but the truth of the matter is I'm a loyal Republican, but he wasn't my first or second choice. But because of loyalty and the way I grew up and the policies, I did support him after that. And I did go to work for him because I love my country. And so I made great sacrifices, as you know. My wife and I were almost on the verge of divorce. That's sort of how that podcast came together. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, man, it's a lot cheaper than therapy, that podcast. Okay, 45 minutes where my wife taking a cheese grater to my head.
Yeah.
A lot cheaper than therapy.
I think that's probably true.
But the truth of the matter is, I got it wrong. And 63.5 million people voted for him. And there's a lot of establishment people that went to his side of the ledger. And so you could say, I got it wrong, and I'm now trying to make a correction. You can shame me for that. But then I would caution people in shaming me for that, because we have to create an off-ramp for my other fellow Republicans. And so if I'm going to get shamed and roasted and toasted, it'll create more deterrence for them to speak the truth. And so, but I hear you. That's deserved criticism. And so I don't really have a great response to that, other than saying to you that I'm accountable for that as a mistake.
You have said a couple times this week, including in a Vanity Fair interview, which is available today, that you believe by next March, the president will realize he cannot win, and he will announce that he's not running. Will this be a scenario, you think, where other people will come to him? Or what is the scenario where that will happen? Because you know, as of today, he thinks he's going to win, 45 states?
He doesn't. He actually doesn't think he's going to win that. You know, he's got very low self-esteem. You can't be that big of a bully without levels of low self-esteem. And so...
So do you think he thinks he's going to lose at this point?
I think he thinks that that economy that he botched is starting to rumble. And I think he is worried. Yes, I do. I think he is now worried. He sounded very dissembled last night, very disorganized in his word choices. The night before, he was talking about calling off the election. That's a guy that's very fearful. He's also a projector. So when he calls somebody like me nervous and neurotic, I mean, those are not things you would describe me. You know, my wife says I'm hyper, but I'm definitely not neurotic. I don't know anybody that's ever saw me nervous in a situation at any time. Okay, I know how to shoot the target. So that's expressions of him. He's projecting. Okay, and so he is out of his depth. He's projecting, and he also is looking at these polling numbers, and he's hoping that he could pull an inside straight again, but he can't because he's got 2.5 years. Now, if they put up somebody like Elizabeth Warren, you know, he's going to probably win unless the economy rolls. I'm an objective guy, so I'm not going to sit here and be, you know, a Trump basher and that sort of thing. I'm just saying to you, look, right now, a credible moderate Democrat would beat him. Replace the jockey. You know, let's get him off the horse and get somebody else on there so that we can have a competitive fight in 2020.
Okay, so
Lyndon Johnson of the Republican Party.
So give me a couple Democrats who, if Donald Trump ran.
Yeah, well, Joe Biden at this point will beat him.
Do you think Joe Biden's going to make it there? I mean, he's off to a pretty lousy start.
I don't know. Yeah, I would say to Joe, if Vice President Biden, if I was on his team, I would say, hey, you got to be more mentally disciplined here, because there's the high stakes program going on right now. But there are other Democrats. Kamala Harris is a moderate. The mayor is a moderate. I think Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, I don't think the country's ready for socialism. That's been a failed experiment for 150 years. And so, you know, I don't think people are ready for that. But I also think, God forbid, President Trump could go down in history as a person that created the first socialist president, you know, because he's in, as I said, heavy mental decline. He takes no one's counsel but himself. He is sending out racially charged tweets, and he is trying to racially divide the country. And I will point out to your listeners that we will survive a recession if one happens, because that's like a bone break, and we can mend a bone. But to rip up, okay, I view the country as a very...
I got to jump in. I'm trying, Dan, if we could just check with him, we could get the last answer here. His phone is just, unfortunately, in and out, and we all have had that, right? All of our conversations, sometimes it just goes back and forth. It's just one of those situations. I'd love to get him to just give that last answer, but let's do that. Let's just try one last time. Anthony, hopefully we have you back. Just pick up on what you were saying there at the end, because it was just going a little in and out.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I'm just saying that
unfortunately, we just thank him and say we'd love to do it again. And it was great to have him on because he's such a huge part of the story right now, and it was great to get his insight. Again, he's got a podcast, Mooch and the Misses, and he is a huge part of the political discourse this week. You want to react to what he had to say? Said some pretty strong stuff. Mentally slipping. He will not run next year. He might be such a feeble candidate that he will be the next candidate. He will be the first candidate to provide a socialist to run this country. I know he's getting heat because people are saying he's just an opportunist at this point. I personally think he should have said these things years ago. I think a lot of us spotted this a long time ago. But when people are speaking what I believe is the truth, I have a tough time pushing back against them, and I'll be curious if other Republicans have the testicular fortitude to say the same damn thing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.